Okay, so at the end of last week's show, I said that this would be the week of the Pixel 4 leaks, and I was much more right than even I expected to be, it seems like. And the most recent of this series of leaks has been Google's official confirmation of the Google Pixel 4, which is just absolutely insane. Do you remember, or can you think of on the top of your head any company doing this early ever?
No, I don't see anybody having the tenacity to do this. Honestly, if I had to guess who would have done it, it would have been a Steve Jobs era Apple. It's like an F you to people. This is bold.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And it's insane for many reasons. I mean, the leak season just picked up. Like, it just started. Literally, like 3 days ago, with a leak from a website called Price Baba, which this is a very normal situation for, I guess, Steve Hemmerstoffer, the guy who runs OnLeaks. He basically, for those that aren't aware, he basically just offers up these leaks at a price to a wide variety of different outlets, and it's kind of a system where whoever just offers the most, I think, or whatever, just gets to take it. And in this case, it looks like Price Baba got to take that very first Pixel 4 CAD render. And he just told me on Twitter just a couple days ago, he told me that I was right, that he did have the CAD specifications for the Pixel 4 on his SSD on his computer for a few weeks at that point. But he was waiting on some additional confirmations or something before he actually shared them and or sold them or whatever it is he does. And Price Baba posted the actual renders, and some noted actually that these renders were a little bit on the light side when it comes to details compared to OnLeaks's normal, I guess, level of information or detail on these. Did you feel that way? It seemed like he didn't know a lot of details, and so he tried to make the most vague. These renders just were all fair. Black, few details, so it seemed pretty vague.
Yeah, which is absolutely fair. It's June. Many of us still think it's early for weeks, but safe approach, and it seems to have won out. It proved really, really right.
Absolutely. And just so this is clear, I mean, what did you think? What were you thinking when you first saw this tweet from Google?
This has to be a troll. I thought it was a troll. It's shocking. I thought it was cheeky, but at the same time, I thought this was like going to be a JK. We're not going to do this just yet, but it's a real thing. Shortly after tweeting this, we got confirmation from Google that this is a real thing. This isn't a prank. This isn't a joke. This is the design of the next flagship phone.
Which is, that's just nuts. What do you think is their strategy here? I mean, I felt the same way. Like I immediately thought about the recent, or not recent, but last year's trolls that they did troll a lot. I mean,
yes.
There were a lot of cheeky posts around the leaks. There was a lot of, you don't know, like there was a lot of kind of, you know, you don't know what's actually happening, kind of tongue-in-cheek type tweets. And so, you know, this account in particular does have a history of trolling, and that's why to me I had a strong sense that, you know, I guess one of the things that first came to mind was on leaks, Steve is very, very, very rarely wrong, like straight up wrong. So my thought was, what if Google saw this leak from Steve and got a chuckle out of it and decided to make an official looking render and say, well, you got us, and, you know, and share the image like they just did. And like, I don't know, it's hard for me to shake that possibility. I mean, like I said, OnLeaks is very rarely wrong, but if they were, would they do this? But secondly, I mean, how much do we trust Google PR's word? And I think we have to trust Google PR's word. And when Google PR tells you straight to your face, Yes, confirmed, this is the Pixel 4, which that's the on-the-record statement that they're giving us and presumably every other outlet out there. They gave you a one-word answer. What was your question, actually? What was your specific question that you asked Google PR in response to this?
Getting so inside baseball, but my question was, is this real? Did you just confirm the design? ?
And her response was one word, right?
Yes, it was just yes.
Yeah, so...
Okay, but yeah. As you were saying, there is a history, but like the biggest, most important distinction, that was a week before the event. The last time they teased it, it was a week before the event and at the very start of the event. So it's... It's bold. It's bold, right? What? How else can you describe the tenacity here and just going for it and not... And not instead of having a series of vendors dictate what the next phone could look like, they went all out and said, this is the thing, this is the design we're proud of, and here you go.
Do you take this as Google kind of like taking an L here? Like do you think this will be read slightly as Google just admitting that they can't keep secrets and does Google in particular have to handle it this way because Google in particular has a really hard time keeping their phones under wraps? I think that's one of the questions I'm wondering, and I think that might be, I'm sure that this conversation happened internally over the last several months, you know, because the last year's leak season went a certain way and they really tried to play up the Pixel Ultra kind of hype train a little bit. And that really did help build hype. But like, you know, I'm sure they had conversations after last year when everything leaked, like literally everything about the event leaked. If you go back and watch our roundup video from a couple weeks before the event, everything Google was planning to announce, we literally had every single bullet point pretty much.
Yeah.
All the way up to all the specific camera features that they were including in the Pixel 3. We had that like the night before, if I remember correctly. So
yes,
us and other outlets literally had every single detail of every Google hardware announcement last year. And I'm sure after that happened, you know, I'm sure PR had to have lots of all hands meetings about, you know, obviously they had to deal with those situations last year. Like, how are we going to respond to this? But I think this spring they were probably having conversations like, okay, Pixel 4 season's coming up. How are we going to handle it? And so I'm sure that this tweet was not a last minute decision. I would guess that this is part of the strategy.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
Let me counter you slightly. Okay, so we saw the first event on Monday. And on Tuesday, we saw that, how would you call it, an aluminum block used by case makers for the Pixel 4 and the Pixel 4 XL. As we said at the top of the show, they were kind of vague. The Monday leaks didn't know anything about the exact arrangement of the cameras, and the Tuesday leaks had no details, just the physical shape. Do you think those two leaks on design warranted Google releasing an image today?
What do you mean by warranted? Like, I mean, obviously Google's not obligated to do this at all. I don't think that.
Yeah, definitely not. But those weren't very good leaks.
Yeah. And honestly, this leak is not a super great leak either. In one way, you know, it's like,
it only shows the back.
It's only the back. It's only one color. It's all black. And it's, you know, it doesn't tell us many details. The very few details that it really tells us. I mean, we assumed it had a USB-C port. So seeing that is nothing new. We assumed it had a volume rocker on the side. We assumed it had a power button. We assumed it had the G logo. We assumed that it would, you know, be glass on the back because we assumed wireless charging would be sticking around from last year. There's many of the things that this tells us were things that we already knew or assumed just we know what Google's hardware, we just know what they do now after a few years. The one thing that is news is the cameras, very minor camera details. We know for a fact that the Pixel 4 will be the very first Pixel with two cameras, which
Yeah, I don't Google think they has... had to go into that much detail, though, honestly.
Yeah, they didn't really. I agree with you. I don't think they did. I think they could have just released an official-looking kind of vague silhouette of what OnLeaks had, and that could have served. It could have served the same purpose, for sure. But yeah, like I said, this tells us for a fact one very interesting detail about the Pixel 4, which is that it will have two cameras. Which is, you know, Google has been a couple years behind on camera hardware. I mean, we look back at the iPhone 10, which is going on 2 years now, was, you know, the iPhone 10 and, well, actually the iPhone 7 had two cameras. So, you know, we're going back 3 years on dual camera systems, and Google has maintained all of its camera prowess with just one sensor on the back. And this year, it looks like they're finally folding. It's actually really interesting, and I'll throw this in here, and I've tweeted it, and I've said it many times, and so anyone who follows us closely knows this, but we were actually told last year that one of the ideas that that internally marketing team threw around was pitching the Pixel 3, especially since it was competing. I mean, Pixel 3 was the only premium flagship last year that only had one camera, pretty much.
Yeah.
And we're told one of the marketing messages that was considered was, you only need one, basically trying to say, you know, you only need one camera to have the best camera, which is obviously true. It's apparently true. But that was apparently one of the things that Google considered using to market the Pixel 3's camera setup. And it's a good thing they didn't. And I'm sure that part of the reason they didn't was probably because they knew what was coming this year. And to brag about only needing one camera to accomplish all that they've accomplished and then to do two would be pretty embarrassing. Not to mention coming off the heels of the previous snafu, which was Google's first Pixel ad, which said headphone jack satisfyingly not new, and then the Pixel 2 came out and obviously removed the headphone jack. So all that to say, this is a bizarre situation. I mean, I think bizarre is really, really the best word to use, because it's just, it's just really unusual for a company to do this. But Google is just like, I don't know.
This is a googly thing to do. This is a company that's filled with contrarians and likes to think itself clever. So in that regard, I think this is a very googly thing to do.
Sure. But at the same time, there are a couple of downsides you have to consider. Let's walk through them real quick. One downside for Google is that the Pixel 3 sales are going to be somewhat cannibalized by this. Not to say they wouldn't be cannibalized by the never ending and relentless leaks that are likely coming over the next few months. But they're going to be even more cannibalized if Google itself confirms, hey, yeah, our phone that's coming out in 3 months, 4 months, you know, this is it. And it's confirmed. It's going to hurt sales. I guess the other thing with that is that the Pixel 3a was also announced recently, which also cannibalizes sales. So does it matter? I would wage that Google made this decision based on some data they have that
the Pixel 3 is the Pixel 3.
Yeah, and they don't have much to lose given the situation, including all the factors, the Pixel 3a and just the fact that everything's going to leak relentlessly anyway, and the fact that the Pixel hardware sales have not been stellar. So all things considered, there's probably not much downside for taking a risk on doing a clever PR stunt.
Yeah, and I have
and it's working. We're doing this live working emergency broadcast right now. So,
and the general reaction I'm reading on Twitter is that it's, maybe some more serious people don't really want to do the months of weeks of renders and blurry images. So there is that audience that seems to be satisfied by this freshness, this boldness.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm personally in the camp that's a little bit sad to see this, because I just like the rumor mill. I like writing about the rumor mill. I was looking forward to posting like 10 more articles about various various Pixel 4 renders that would crop up over the next few months. And it's just like this Sherlocked it. This Sherlocked Google Pixel 4 leaks, basically.
At least we have one good cover image whenever I think about these posts now.
We've got good cover images, but
yeah.
So that's
Wednesday.
that's today.
But we have yesterday.
Well, actually, let's talk. There's one more thing with this.
Yes.
And that is the white power button.
Oh, which, the white power button.
It seems a little bit culturally insensitive with these very, very dark times we're living in right now.
What?
To have a white power button.
Okay. Okay. So,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I know. It's nothing. But
Andy didn't make the joke first. Somebody on Twitter.
It's not my joke. I saw that somewhere.
Yeah.
If my joke is insensitive, it's not mine.
I wonder if they actually call it a power button, though. It might be a locks. We'll have to dive.
White lock button. Yeah, they'll definitely not call it a white power button anywhere in any kind of copy anywhere.
Yeah.
With a beautiful white power button.
Okay. So, yeah.
It does look nice, though. I mean, the white on black. It's like the research. It's like bringing back the panda, kind of.
Yeah, and the
not really.
Three generations of the black phones have been very just black. They've called it just black. There is no way to infuse that sense of colorful playfulness into the black colored devices in the past. Now they can do that.
Sure. There's also one more thing that we need to talk about.
One more thing.
With this render. Yep. And that is the window dead? Is the top third slash top fifth slash top something, is the window dead? And I think it is. Based on this render, there doesn't seem to be any kind of glass window. The signature Google Pixel look does not seem to be continuing. That's one big take, I think.
I guess the reason for that is
takeaway.
You don't really want the glass. You don't want a large glass bump next to more glass. Like you would basically have like three shades of glass. If that makes sense. Three different types of glass on the back. There's the one for the camera bump. There's the one for the shade.
Sure.
And the one for the rest of the body. I think that could get not a non-elegant design. Maybe a bit too flashy, but yeah, it's a shame. That's been the only defining design feature.
Yeah. Also, this shows us that there's no fingerprint sensor on the back.
Yes,
that's another thing too, which is a lot of people are going to be pretty disappointed by that.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it'll be in the power button. That seems pretty unlikely. Yeah. I would guess, and honestly, knowing. If I were to guess right now, I think Google's going all in on the face system. I think Google's going to do it the iPhone XS, iPhone X way. Although the rumors have suggested that 2020 or 2021 iPhone is going to bring in an in-display fingerprint sensor. I don't think that Google would do that with in-display fingerprint sensors being as sketchy and unreliable as they currently are. And they're getting better. Most notably, the OnePlus 7 Pro seems to have one that's pretty solid. But on average, I mean... I know for a fact the Pixel 4 has been pretty much done for a year now, and so I don't think that it made the cut. I think that OnePlus and other companies have faster development cycles than Google does.
Hmm.
Especially with Google struggling so much with quality control stuff with hardware, I think that it's partly intentional that they. Are super, super ahead of the curve when it comes to their hardware cycle. Trying to make sure they don't do anything catastrophic. Because one catastrophic mistake, like the Pixel 2's display, I wouldn't call it catastrophic. That was borderline catastrophic. One catastrophic accident like that could throw the entire Pixel project under the bus. So... What else does this tell us before we move on to some other fun topics? I don't know, like the G logo is exactly the same. What about the spectral sensor that we've heard about from
so So the spectral sensor, which is only on the Pixel 3, but not the 3A.
It's that small one at the top?
It's the one at the very top.
Yeah.
Yes, but I would also note there's a sensor at the bottom right corner, which is unknown.
Mm, true.
What that is.
This is an interesting layout. They've decided to go north, south, east, west on this. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
it looks like dual tone flash, which is like nothing new. That's still a detail.
Nothing new.
it is. It looks like this corroborates
absolutely
the render from OnLeaks that it looks like it'll have a glass back and a glass front with aluminum around the sides. Maybe painted aluminum like the Pixel 3 is. I mean that.
Yeah, this is a bit of a tangent, but surprisingly, that painted aluminum compared to the Pixel 3a is just plastic. I kind of prefer the Pixel 3a.
I really like the painted aluminum feel on the Pixel 3, but I can totally understand that. It's less slippery on the 3a for sure. Mm.
And it feels more real, if that makes any sense. It's plastic is plastic. That's the actual material you're touching versus this painted coating, which is it comes off glossy, really. I think that's still my complaint with the Pixel 3 compared to the Pixel 3a. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on a little bit. Let's move on to some other details. One of the leaks that came out after OnLeaks was, or seemingly leaked. I honestly don't know what to think about this one, but this is Unbox Therapy, obviously a huge YouTuber. About 24 hours after the leak came from OnLeaks, he shared a couple of what looked to be like metal case. What did he call them? They're basically case templates, for case manufacturers to base their case designs on. But they appear to be metal. So either he somehow got his hands on the CADs that OnLeaks had and he had them manufactured super fast somehow, had them like die cast it or something really fast. Or he just had a separate leak, which to me it sounds like he might have had something separate because he had some minor details that he shared from he didn't really specify. He just said the same person that had given him the die-cast and molds or whatever had said these very minor details. One of those being that on the front of the device, there's apparently a forehead or an area at the top in lieu of a notch. So it seems, at least based on his information, which I don't know how much I trust it. Not much, honestly. It's not like he has. He's a fine YouTuber. I don't have any problem with him, but it's not like he has a great track record with Google track record or really any track record with leaks. He says that it will have five sensors of some kind on the front. I would assume that includes a couple cameras,
yes,
at least, maybe an infrared. Sensor, a dot projector, maybe lots of options there. What other details did he have? He had, he said, I can't remember. I think I don't. He did have both the 4 and the 4XL models, and it did look like the 4 was a little bit bigger than the 3 is. I don't remember off the top of my head what other details he had. Do you?
But the key was the
interesting part. He also said he also had other things that are now confirmed by Google, which was that the Pixel 4 would have two cameras, which that wasn't necessarily, it was assumed, but it wasn't necessarily visible and or confirmed or corroborated by OnLeaks' leak. So so he had that, and that was the second leak that came this week. The third thing that came, well, actually, there's a few other things. This was a crazy week, actually, more so. It's only Wednesday.
We weren't even going to do this podcast till
tomorrow, but we decided to bump it up by a day because all this is dropping. So The next thing that we heard, so I heard independently from someone just through the grapevine. I won't specify, I guess, my confidence in this source, but they said that the Pixel 4 is going to have some kind of integration with Project Soli. Which, do you want to give us the background on Project Soli? I think that'd be great.
So Project Soli was created by Google's Advanced Technology and Projects Division, ATAP, originally acquired from Motorola. So this is an advanced technology team that's its focus is on bringing products to market compared to something like Google, the X division, Alphabet now. This is more tangible. This is more future technology that can go into consumer products in the near term. So using radar, it shoots out this chip, this tiny chip, shoots out waves. And when you put your hand over it, it can sense fine gestures, like if you're tuning a knob or adjusting the volume by just brushing your fingers right in front of that sensor. So this allows for volume controls. This allows for skipping music, adjusting sliders. This is all the things that ATAP in the past has shown the possible use cases for this chip. They touted smartwatches were the thing that everybody went to as how you could use is a radar-based gesture recognizing chip. And of course, per Yorick, its inclusion in smartphones allows a lot of control opportunities by just waving your fingers.
Yeah, so a little bit of background here. Google, I was at Google I/O 2015 when Google announced this. It was ATAP, Google's Advanced Technologies and Products Group, which is kind of like their mini moonshots. We all know about Google X, which, you know, they do the true moonshots, yes. Which is not technically a Google company anymore. It's actually under Alphabet. So it's Google X, but not Google. It's X, I guess, now. And Google ATAP is the moonshots kind of advanced tech group that's inside Google now and has been. And really, the only two projects that are still part of this group technically as of today, I think, are Project Jacquard and Project Soli. Project Jacquard, for those that don't know, was the fabric-based touch-sensitive, I guess, it's basically touch-sensitive fabric. And they partnered with Levi's to make a jacket. That was one of Google ATAP's projects that it seems like has stalled for the last year or two, but maybe it'll be rebirthed. Speaking of rebirth, Project Soli, which was announced also back at Google I/O 2015, and then demoed again at 2016 on stage at Google I/O. They showed it working in a smartwatch, and also working with a smart home speaker. JBL speaker. And now, a few years later, it's literally been 3 years since that demo, which is just, it's crazy to think about. Google is we've heard, going to include this technology in the Pixel 4. We don't know, as of today, how the many various ways that it might be used. We don't know if it'll be on the front or the back. My guess, as of right now, is that this chip will be front-facing. It might be up in that area at the top where all these other supposed sensors are. And I guess that we do have one little tidbit of information on how it might be used. So after my report, Michal Rahman over at XDA Developers actually had some little tidbits of code that he had found digging through the early betas of Android Q. Apparently, this code had been there since the very first beta of Android Q, and more had been added recently with beta 4 or beta 3. But basically, this code shows a feature that's seemingly called Aware, which would make or a sensor called Aware, an Aware sensor, which would make total sense in line with Project Soli's radar chip being in the phone. Calling it an Aware sensor would make way more sense, I think, for consumers. And what he discovered in the code are actually references to one way this Aware sensor might be used, not to mention references to an unfinished settings page that Google's working on for this feature. Also, again, presumably for the Pixel 4. And one of the, one of the ways that apparently Google is testing or planning to use it in the Pixel 4 is one of the ways that has been demoed since pretty much day one. Actually, I think this was demoed day one at Google I.O. 2015. They showed using the Soli sensor to control music. It's one of the most obvious use cases. And with the Pixel having other music-related, specifically music-related features, such as, what's it called? The always listening on the... Now playing, thank you.
Now playing.
Having now playing is just one example of something else Google has done to make a specifically useful feature for music-related functions on the Pixel. It seems like the Pixel 4 might have the ability to hold your... You basically will hold your hand over the phone in some way and make some kind of gesture. And that will basically move the music forward or backward, skip songs or whatever. But I think one of the most obvious use cases for Soli, and this applies to the phone and this applies to the JBL speaker that they showed off at Google I/O 2016, is the wave to shut up kind of gesture. So one of the things they showed at Google I/O 2016 was this JBL speaker, and they showed how you could move through music. But to me, that just feels a little bit too... Like, the gesture has to be too specific, and my question is, like, how do people learn what gestures are and how to use them? And it just seems like it might be a little bit gimmicky in the same realm as kind of the hand unlock of the LG G7 or something. But anyways, I think that this wave to shut up thing is actually going to be very useful. I mean, they showed... recently at Google I/O, they showed the Nest Hub Max, which is the new larger version of the Google Home Hub, with a camera on the front. They showed the ability to put your hand in front of the camera to tell it to stop. A timer, I think music too. I don't remember completely, but that's one of the things they were working on. And I think this seems like a very similar feature. You could just if the Pixel 4 has music playing, you could just wave your hand at it and it would just stop playing. And that, I mean, I could see that being useful. I think Google will come up with some thoughtful ways to make this actually practical, because they do tend to do interesting, unique features that are actually useful. They've actually thought about it, rather than just putting this tech in a device and just hoping to figure it out later. I think they've really shown off over the last few years being thoughtful about like the squeeze feature, for instance. I think they actually did testing to discern that the squeeze to activate the assistant was something that people would actually use and something that's actually useful. And in my opinion, it has been. That varies person to person, but I think that's one example of something that's actually thoughtful. And I think this will be another one of those things. We'll see. I actually have a further theory is that, and I this kind of is a little bit of a tangent, but I think that Project Soli might show up in other Google hardware this year. I don't think that Pixel 4 is the only one, if I were to guess right now. For multiple reasons, I think it makes sense. I think Project Soli makes the most sense in a smartwatch. And Google needs something to differentiate itself in that space. And if Google is launching a smartwatch this year, which is what Nikkei reported earlier this year, very early this year, I believe it was Nikkei. It was a Japanese publication, I believe.
Yes, it was. I will find that.
Yeah, they reported that Google was doing a smartwatch this year and that they are doing a new Google Home. Not sure if that new Google Home was the Nest Hub Max. That's all blurry. But if they're doing a true second generation Google Home, it would make sense that one of the differentiating features of Google Home version 2, which we're about due for, we're at the 3 year mark. I think we're due for another Google Home, and a second generation one makes sense to put Soli in it, I think.
And one reason for that is, since Google's new design language is Fabric, it doesn't make sense to put a control surface over Fabric now, as evidenced by the Home Mini and that design manufacturing flaw. So if you can just wave over it versus actually touching the Fabric, it would make sense.
That's actually a really good point. Another point with the Fabric is that touching it is just not super great, because Fabric picks up oils
and dirt.
And I don't know if you've seen some really grimy Pixel 3 or Pixel 2 cases. But those fabric cases can get pretty gross. So anything you can do to not touch fabric on those devices and keep the fabric at the same time, because I think the fabric looks really nice, is definitely a win.
I actually just realized something. What's the Nest, the fire sensor? Doesn't that already have some wave gestures? If it starts beeping, you can turn it off. The Nest Aware, I think. Whatever the squarish fire sensor is.
Oh, Nest Protect. Alarm.
Nest Protect.
Yeah.
Yes, so I have some experience with gestures and smart home products.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Forgot about that. Good point. Project Soli and Pixel 4, to me, I mean, I know for a fact, I mean, one person speculated that maybe this rumor was kind of originating from the same place, that maybe my tipster was aware of the code changes and then speculated that there was Soli in the Pixel 4 and then tipped me off based on that. I can say right now that I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty confident that my tipster is just aware that this is a feature coming to the Pixel 4 and that Michal's code findings, which we also have confirmed. So we've dug into to Android Q and found them as well. So we can confirm that they're there. I think it truly is corroboration. And so that gives me a much higher level of confidence that this is going to be one of the ways that Google sets this phone apart. It'll just be interesting to see how they use it, because I think the possibilities are endless.
Yes.
So that's Soli.
Yeah. And
yeah, it's been a big week for Pixel 4.
Again, 3 days. We have 2 more days this week.
Yes. There actually was one more Pixel 4 thing that we can touch on really quickly, which was another code finding from Michal over at XDA. He also found some kind of reference to something that sounds like True Tone, right?
Yeah, True Tone, which is, you want to explain the iOS feature iPhone user?
Yeah, so True Tone, for those that don't know, and it's something that Google and Apple's been doing for a few years. It just changes the temperature of the display based on the ambiance, which makes it so that if you're...
I turned off adaptive brightness immediately. I don't want...
That's so funny.
I want to control my brightness, thank you very much.
I'm the opposite. I would like to not have to control my brightness or my screen temperature or my notifications or really anything else. Just make it all AI. I don't know. But True Tone is that's basically what it is. If your room has a more orange ambiance, it will make the display warmer so that it matches the room. And if you're in a room that's very bright and has a blue hue, it will make the display cooler. And I don't know, it just makes sense. And apparently this code that Michal found in Android Q suggests that a very similar feature might be coming to the Pixel 4, which I just realized that might have some connection to which sensors are on the front of the device, which there are supposedly 5 of.
Yeah.
Another thing that we could talk about a little bit is, I guess we already did, but we could talk about it more. It seems like Google's doing just Face, I think.
Yes.
I would guess they're straight copying the iPhone, and they're just going to do the infrared.
Infrared recognition.
Which,
projecting dots on
good
your face,
for them.
Like making a map.
Hot take, yes, but good for them.
It's very futuristic, and people will appreciate when it's well done. But that's going to be going into this phone, I think it's going to be a big question of whether Google has some training data thanks to the Nest Hub Max coming this summer, but they're going to have to do it on the phone. It has to be really fast, and this will be a defining feature, would you say, for the Pixel 4?
The Face ID, or whatever they call it, Face Match. They'll probably call it Face Match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be a few defining features that are going to set this apart from the rest of the Android crowd. And that's what I think Google has done and continues to do, is they're not setting themselves apart from the iPhone. They're setting themselves apart from every other Android phone on the market. And it's just so interesting that there's so many things that they just don't care about. Like, this year, probably 6 gigs of RAM, whereas the OnePlus 7 Pro, they're trying to push that thing to 12 gigs of RAM. You know, it's like the rest of the Android space just has, I guess, norms and expectations that Google just refuses to care about. And they're kind of pushing back on the larger picture Android philosophies that they were the ones that established in the first place. You know, be together, not the same, kind of emphasis on choice, emphasis on diversity, emphasis on variety of features and options and customizability. And these are all things that Google kind of initiated. And with the Pixel line every year, and it seems like including this year, they're going to continue walking that back in some ways.
Yeah.
You have to use Face Match, probably. Whether you like it or not.
Use Face Match.
I don't know. We'll see if they do an in-display fingerprint sensor, but I would...
Not yet. Not this year.
I would guess that they're not going to.
I guess if there's one last question is, do you think that this tease that Google did today has any impact on when this phone will launch?
I don't think so. I think that this was just a play to get on top of it, and I think they'd rather have their renders be shared around for the next 4 months than random CADs. I don't think so. I think we'll see it still announced this fall, and I do think that we'll see a watch in a new Google Home as well. One person that's watching the live stream just said the front is still mysterious, and that's kind of true. I mean, I think based on the description we got from Lou yesterday or whatever it was, that it does sound to me that this is like, if you don't know the Xiaomi Mi Mix 2, you should look that phone up. It seems like it's like that, but upside down. It seems like there will be just a top forehead, but no or very little bottom bezel. Like that's what it sounds like to me. Is that what you're getting from this?
Which, especially in the... Yeah. Context of no bottom bottom firing speakers rather than front facing speakers. No. I think Google can't get away with two black strips on top and bottom again.
Right. Another thing, this listener / reader Daniel Hurley asks, could it be part of Pixel Presence? I'm assuming he's asking about Project Soli.
Pixel Presence.
That's another detail that we learned recently. If you want to talk about that.
So Pixel Presence. At this very moment, looks to be a rebrand of Smart Lock, which is Google's age-old Play Services thing that allows you to unlock, to keep your phone unlocked if the phone remains on your body, if it's in a certain location, if it's attached to familiar Bluetooth devices. Very interestingly, in Android Q Beta 4, Google renamed Smart Lock to Pixel Presence around the world. In every country except US English, it's referred to as Pixel Presence, but here it's still called Smart Lock. So Presence, and Pixel Presence, and Aware, an Aware chip and Aware sensor, it works very well together, if you think about it,
This is a, I don't know, just a crackpot theory, but I feel like maybe Pixel Presence... Maybe the Soli sensor will be used in some way to... So you know how, like, the Apple Watch, as long as it remains on your body, will stay unlocked if you unlock it?
Yes.
And if you take it off, it knows that you're not... that you took it off, and therefore it's not attached to you anymore. What if there's some kind of way that Soli can determine that you're actively using your device? I don't know if this makes any sense. I'm talking myself out of it as I say it, but, like... Some level of like its awareness of your presence somehow through Soli, and if it detects that your presence leaves, then it will lock.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's just a thought.
Yeah,
nothing more than a thought. I don't know.
I do wonder if Aware is going to be operational when you're actually using the phone. Like, I think LG for the longest time, if you walked away from your phone, would just turn off the screen more quickly. Something like that is a question of whether it will be running actively.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's some kind of solely based smart lock feature, basically.
Yeah.
That might be
just curious whether radar has fine enough penetration compared to its pushing AR lights, AR dots into your face.
Right. I don't know. That's one of the things we don't know is we don't know. I mean, maybe that's how Google's doing face match. It could be a radar sensor. There has been some research done on biometric security based on radar. But I haven't looked into it enough to be able to say anything intelligent about it. Bill Wang, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. He asks, is the back second lens going to be telephoto or wide angle or super zoom? What do you think?
I want to say zoom, actually, compared to wide angle, in that Google software can already...
Software can already do the telephoto artificially, is what you're saying?
Rather, can do the portrait artificially.
Oh, yeah. It can also do telephoto artificially pretty well. That was one of the features last year.
Yes, when you zoom in, because it takes all of images and stitches them together. So right. That's a good point. So, personally, I prefer 2x zoom.
Yeah, I would like...
You can take it further.
I would like wide angle on both the front and the back. That would be nice. I would guess that it's been shown that the wide angle on the front has been popular. Which makes sense for selfies. But the other thing is that I don't think Google's going to just add another lens just to add another lens.
Absolutely not.
Like the second lens on the Pixel 3 was not about having a wide angle front facing lens. The second lens on the Pixel 3 was about being able to take wide angle selfies, and they showed and marketed why that is a good idea. And I think that they're going to do the same with whatever the second lens is on the back. And that's in contrast to a lot of the other Android OEMs that it seems to be their focus is more on hitting specs or filling out a spec sheet rather than coming up with ideas and features that actually might appeal to people. Obviously you have to add hardware and you have to add things to the spec sheet to be able to do that. But I think that's one thing that people forget. And I think it'll be interesting to see because Google will tell a story on why it's doing two lenses. Whereas I think most other manufacturers are, this can take really good pictures and that's the story. And I think Google will probably have more than that, but we'll see. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. Someone is asking, maybe the main lens will be the Pixel lens and a second could be 48 megapixel for super high resolution photos.
I wonder if there's a user demand for higher res photos. There's definitely a pro demand for getting high resolution photos, but Google has a tendency to do features that the consumer, that the regular average user really can find a value in and can notice immediately. But for the purpose of Zoom, of course,
I also wonder, what if there's some kind of connection feature-wise/marketing message-wise between what they're doing with Google Maps AR and this second lens on the back? What if there's some lens, wide angle or something, that will take advantage of AR features that Google's working on to make the second, to justify the existence of a second lens beyond just taking different kinds or better photos? That's another thought that I had. I think marketing those in conjunction, like, hey, Google Maps AR is cool, but it's way cooler because we have this lens on here. Like that, I think that might.
If I were to, my crazy idea would be if it is for Google Maps AR, wouldn't the second lens be lower resolution as to allow for more battery efficiency? Using continuous AR.
That might make sense too. I don't know. I don't know if that would actually be more battery efficient, but
probably
maybe
not.
Yeah. So I think that, is there anything else we need to talk about on Pixel 4? I think we're pretty much good. That was
a slightly shorter
show, but I think we covered it, and we'll definitely almost certainly have more Pixel 4 details next week. It tends to be when these leaks come out that, you know, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
So definitely continue to follow us on social media and on 9to5google.com. Follow us pretty much everywhere. I just wanted to mention this one more time, that we do have a Twitter account specifically for the Alphabet Scoop podcast. So if you're listening to this, please go follow us at ABC Scoop on Twitter. We will be tweeting there anytime we have schedule changes, an emergency show like we had today, or, you know, pretty much anything. We also tweet there whenever the audio after our podcast live on YouTube is up on all the podcasting platforms. But yeah, we'll see you next week. Until then, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast. It's been pretty random, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday lately. We're not sure where it's going to be next week. Assuming there's not another emergency cast, we will be on Thursday afternoon next week. And you can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, of course, Google Play, and also just directly through 9to5google.com, where you can listen and download the podcast in full. Thanks for tuning in as always, and we'll see you again next week.
Later. Bye.